I can't stand the feel of newsprint. It feels like teeny tiny splinters all in my fingertips. Taco seasoning makes me dizzy. Glass that has come out of a dishwasher, it feels squeaky in an awful way. These are just a few quotes from WrongPlanet.net, an online community for those with autism and Asperger's syndrome. Sensory issues are one of the primary symptoms along the autism spectrum, and that's where we pick up now in the second part of my conversation with autism activist and best-selling author Temple Grandin.
Sensory issues, as far as I'm concerned, should be a top priority. They range from a nuisance to being totally debilitating. And this problem with fluorescent lights flickering, that's a real common sensory issue. And kids that have that problem see the print jiggle on the page. Then you have other people that are sound sensitive, that can't stand certain loud noises. Others have problems with scratchy clothes driving them crazy. Others have problems with certain tastes and smells. And I think it's so important for people to understand the sensory issues. And for some people, that's the most important chapter in the book. A lot of people don't understand the sensory problems. And you wonder why the kid's screaming in the middle of Walmart. It's because he feels like he's inside the speaker at the rock concert.
And not only the sounds, but the sights and smells all bombarding the person at once.
Yeah.
Who is this latest book written for?
Teachers, people that are job counselors. I have a whole chapter in there just on jobs for the different kinds of minds. There's a whole bunch of information there on diagnosis. People get way too hung up on what the label is. When Richard and I were working on this on the Autistic Brain book, we were kind of shocked at just how much the diagnosis changed. Nobody sits around a committee room and changes the diagnosis of tuberculosis. You know, you've either got it or you don't. One thing that people are wondering right now is what's going to happen with the taking out the Asperger's and all the people that are labeled Asperger's. And they're taking out the Asperger's, calling that social communication disorder. You know, you take these kids on the high end of the spectrum. I'm going to just call them the geeky, socially awkward kids.
Uh-huh.
You got to get them out doing stuff. I'm seeing too many of these kids getting kind of sheltered and coddled. You got to teach them turn-taking. You know, when they're really young, you teach them with board games. And the other thing these kids have got to learn is they got to learn job skills. I'm seeing too many smart, geeky kids getting through college, and they've never had a job. They've never had the discipline of, you know, a paper route. And I know those are gone now, but you can substitute paper routes with other things like walking dogs. Yeah, even if the weather's nasty, you still got to walk, you know, Mrs. Jones's dog every single day because it's a job. They've got to learn that discipline of having a job.
In other words, you can't wait until they're already adults and just assume that you can just throw them into the real world, so to speak, and they will be able to
function. I'm seeing too many 20-year-olds becoming recluses in the basement playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where I want them to go. This is one of the things that just drives me absolutely crazy, because when I go out in the workplace, the cattle industry or other things, I'm seeing old gray hairs my age that I know are Asperger's. I'm doing really well in their jobs. And then I'm seeing junior hasn't learned any work skills. You know, there's a discipline to having a job, and this needs to start at age 12.
What flaws have you discovered in the current diagnosis of autism?
Well, it's very imprecise. And eventually, they'll be able to replace this all, you know, with brain scanning technologies. And they could say, okay, we've got this much auditory processing disorder and auditory or visual. I can't emphasize enough the importance of early intervention. You know, don't be worrying about going out and getting brain scans. If you got a 3-year-old with no speech, the worst thing you can do is nothing. You got to start working with that kid, and you got to start working on him right now. I don't care what the label is. You got a 2-year-old or 3-year-old that's not talking and doing a lot of strange behavior. If you don't stretch these kids, you got to just stretch them a little bit outside their comfort zone, because if you don't stretch them, they don't develop. You got to work with them. Don't wait.
There are groups that over the years have talked about a cure for autism. Do you think there could be a cure, or do you even want one?
Well, on the higher ends of the spectrum, you definitely don't want one, because, you know, you'd get rid of all the people out in Silicon Valley if you totally got rid of that. There's a point where the milder versions is just a personality variant.
You've lost your creative minds.
Well, that's right. And then you get down on the more severe end of the spectrum. I think some of the more severe end of the spectrum is something different.
You're known and celebrated for quite a number of things, but what's your favorite thing about yourself?
Well, I really, you know, the more I'm getting into it, really like the visual thinking, and that I think differently, and I like the way I think, because there's certain kinds of problem solving I can be very, very good at. And you see, and you take a project like the Fukushima nuclear power plant, if I'd been laying out that plant, I would have been going, wait a minute, there's no way you're going to put those emergency generators in the basement where they're going to get flooded unless you put in waterproof doors. That's a mistake I would never make. And I finally figured out the engineers don't see the water coming in there. They don't see it. One thing I really enjoy doing on a project is just figuring out how to design stuff, figuring out how to solve problems. I really like doing that.